Church, would you join me as we look to God in prayer? May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing to you, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I want to take this opportunity to greet all of you a blessed new year and wonderful joy that we can gather here together as a family, both here physically and those on site, and for those who are gathering in CNS and Pavilion as well to welcome the new year together. As we look back at 2021, I'm sure you agree with me that globally, this will be remembered as a year plagued with wars, political turmoils, famines, pestilence, natural disasters, and the increase in severe financial, social, and emotional impact. On COVID-19, the global death toll has more than doubled in the last 1 year. It has now hit 5.44 million as compared to the 1.94 million a year ago when I spoke at the last covenant service. Just as we thought we were going to overcome the pandemic, we are now having to deal with more new variants. The pandemic has impacted our world. It has changed the way we live, the way we work, the way we socialize, and the way we function as a church. Having to practice BNW in church has now become a norm. Sitting in barbers of five, no mingling, and wearing a mask all the times. And after 2 years of battling the pandemic and adjusting to changes, some of us are feeling tired and emotionally drained. Spiritually, some of us are feeling detached from the church. And like the Jews who had lived in exile, COVID-19 has caused us to also be in exile from the regular church life. And I'm sure we are all longing to return to our Jerusalem. It is with this longing that we are looking forward to a new normal. And I'm sure we have our list of what this new normal should look like. But I believe we need to ask God, what is His new normal for the church? What is God's new normal for the church? And I want to suggest to you, we are standing on the threshold of a very important and significant season in our time. As the church leaders gathered to seek the Lord through prayers in the past 1 year, we believe God is preparing us for a season of revival. But you need to realize that revival is coming not because we have done well or have achieved great things. As we trace through church history and examine scriptures, you will realize that what often preceded God's revival was a time or season of deep darkness. The truth is, this pandemic has revealed the state of deep darkness of our time. And God's revival is needed, my dear friends, to bring life to the church and hope to our community. Look around us and you'll realize that many around us are living without hope. And many are desperate because life has become so meaningless. We see the incident rate of suicide among those aged between 10 to 19 increased by 37.5% from 2019 to 2020. And that, my friends, is alarming. We hear of more elderly feeling lonely and neglected. We hear of more breakups in marriages. Mentally, more are seeking help. And this trend that we are seeing is a huge concern for many of us. Meanwhile, people are still indulging in sins and living in darkness, like there is no tomorrow. And what I've mentioned to you, my dear friends, is just the tip of the iceberg of the issues that we see in our society and in our community. The pandemic has also revealed the true spiritual state of the church. COVID has made us realize that we are not as robust as we thought we were. The church has always functioned as a large community. And when we were not allowed to meet physically, many of us became lost. We wondered how our pastoral and spiritual needs will be met. We were forced to learn, to adjust to meeting online, to hold cell meetings and meet friends remotely on screen. Well, that has taken care of some basic needs. The limitations to physical interaction has taken a toll on our relationship with one another. Our emotional needs are not met. And for many, it has left a vacuum in our spiritual life as well. Personally, I've not seen such great desperation in our community. I've certainly not seen such shaking up in our church in my years of ministry compared to the time that we are in today. Friends, if we open our eyes to see the reality of the time that we are living in, we see sufferings, we see desperations, we see fear, we see hopelessness in people. We need God's revival, as we have seen in Scripture. In Ezekiel 37, God revived the valley of dry bones. The valley of dry bones was symbolic of the spiritual barrenness of the chosen people of God, the Israelites. God revived the dry bones and gave them new life. We also see God's revival in Ezekiel 47. God's living water flowing from his altar, from the temple into the community and into the rivers. God's revival restored the land. And that's what we need today, my friends. We need God's revival to bring new life to the church and to bring hope to our community. For Cathedral, I believe God is showing us his vision of revival through the words of Zechariah. That was just being read for us from Zechariah chapter 2. But this evening, I'll just focus on verses 4 and 5. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as villages without walls because of the multitude of people and livestock in it. And I'll be to her a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord, and I will be the glory in her midst. There are three important pictures in this vision from Zechariah chapter 2. Firstly, the vision of revival is a picture of the church becoming vulnerable with God. This picture of a city without walls in Zechariah chapter 2 is a picture of Jerusalem being opened to welcome anyone who comes into the city. And it's also a picture of exponential growth. But more importantly, it's a picture of becoming vulnerable with God. We've studied the book of Nehemiah early this year. And you recall that Jerusalem was an extremely vulnerable place without walls. They were surrounded by ferocious enemies, often preying on the city. But immediately after declaring Jerusalem to be a city to be without walls, the Lord himself declared, I will be her wall of fire all around. Verse 5. This is a picture of God's assurance that he is the one who protects and defends Jerusalem. And we need to understand that this does not mean that God is asking the Israelites to tear down the walls of Jerusalem. Because we read in Nehemiah, God stirred the hearts of Nehemiah to return to rebuild the walls during the reign of King Artaxerxes. The picture of a city without walls is about becoming vulnerable with God in every aspect of our lives, career, family, relationship, education, and our church life. Church, God is inviting us to trust him and to believe in him totally in this season. And as we face challenges, as we face every obstacle that may come, we know that God holds our tomorrow. And he reigns and he's supreme over heaven and earth. And because of that, my friends, we can trust, we can believe in our God who will overcome even this pandemic. Secondly, the vision of revival is a picture of the church thriving with life and people. Verse 4, Jerusalem shall be inhabited because of the multitude of people and livestock in it. This vision of Jerusalem thriving with life was further elaborated in chapter 8 of Zechariah. From verses 4 to 5, allow me to read for you. Thus says the Lord of hosts, all men and all women shall sit again in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of great age, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. My spirit was stirred. My heart leaped when I read this. Imagine cathedral thriving with life and people once again. I think we have longed for that. We have not seen that for 2 years. But for the Jews, at that point in time, they may not be joyous. Quite certain that they had mixed feelings when they received this prophetic vision. Put ourselves in their shoes. It was hard to imagine after being in exile in a foreign land for hundreds of years, under such strong military reign of their enemies, to imagine that they were going home. To imagine Jerusalem thriving with life and people may be a nice reminder of Jerusalem, what it was like perhaps in the past, but to believe that it would happen during their time was not palatable. It would require faith, and it would certainly require trust to believe that God would bring revival to Jerusalem. And God did. 120 years later, after the Jews received this prophetic vision of revival, the first batch of Israelites, 42,000 of them, returned to Jerusalem. And my dear friends, a time will come when cathedral will once again thrive with life and people. And we pray more will be added, and the empty seats filled, and the voices of our young children fill the air once again. Amen. Thirdly, the vision of revival is a picture of the church being filled with God's presence. Verse 5, the Lord said, I will be the glory in their midst. Verse 10 and 11, I will come and dwell in their midst. And verse 11 again, I will dwell in their midst. God's presence was in the midst of Jerusalem. And God's presence is in the midst of us, my dear friends. The vision of God's presence in Jerusalem was further elaborated in chapter 8. Verses 22 to 23, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. I was fascinated with this picture of 10 persons clinging on to one churchgoer. Take me with you to your church. We heard that God's presence is with you. Recently, a pastor shared this testimony of how a young mother joined his church during COVID. This young mother was a non-believer, was retrenched from a job. And as the sole breadwinner supporting 2 young children, she was so emotionally broken and depressed after the retrenchment. And guess, where was the first place that she ran to for solace and to recompose herself before she was ready to meet her children? The church. She walked into the very same church that she had chapel service when she was a student in the missionary school. One of the church pastors ministered to her, and during the conversation, the pastor asked why the church was the first place that she ran to. And her response was just amazing. She said, "Although I'm not a believer, I knew since I was a student that I could find God's presence in this place. I could find God's presence in this place." Church, what I've just heard is already happening here in Cathedral. In the last few months, we've met several new members who have shared this same amazing testimony of how they were led to Cathedral in the last 1 year. And each of them testified how they found God's presence in this place. And not only have they found God, but they have also found hope. And some shared how God had miraculously healed them from depression, broken relationships, and other issues. My dear friends, God's presence is in this place. Do you know it? Can you sense it? And are you ready for friends, colleagues, neighbors, loved ones, classmates, and the people whom you meet in the street, all clinging on to you, asking you, "Will you take me to your church? Will you take me to your cell group? Will you tell me more about your God? Because we heard that God's presence is with you." We need God's revival in this very dark and trying times to bring hope to our community. But God's revival is not all about the outward signs. The truth is, God is more interested in the transformation and the renewal of our hearts. God is calling us to renew our hearts. And interestingly, we are embarking on the physical restoration of the nave very shortly. And I believe this is not coincidental. As we embark on the physical restoration, I believe God is also calling us to a season of being spiritually restored and to be renewed. And you need to know that renewal or spiritual restoration is often part of God's revival for the church. In chapter 3 of Zechariah, we read, "Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, 'Remove the filthy garments before him.'" Clearly, we see that the Lord demands righteousness from the church. "Remove the filthy garments from him." Verse 4. Joshua's filthy garments before the Lord were symbolic of how we have become complacent and sloppy in our relationship with the Lord. As a high priest, Joshua knew very well that he was to be ready in season and out of season. However, instead of being in the state of readiness, he became complacent and sloppy. And he had appeared before the angel of the Lord in his filthy garments. And no wonder Satan accused him in verse 1 of chapter 3. There is really no excuse for spiritual complacency and sloppiness as believers of Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus cautioned us, "You must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Luke chapter 12, verse 40. God's desire is for the church to be holy and to be blameless so that we are ready when Christ returns in his second coming. But as we look at Zechariah chapter 3, amazingly, despite Joshua's state of sloppiness, the Lord graciously renewed and restored him. And in the same way, as we look to God for this revival, the Lord will renew the church. The angel of the Lord said to Joshua, I've taken your iniquity away, and I'll clothe you with pure vestments. Verse 4, chapter 3. Renewal is the work of the Holy Spirit, but it begins with our desire to be set apart, to be holy, to be blameless, and to be acceptable to our Lord again. And in verse 5, we see the angel of the Lord commanded, put a clean turban on his head. Turban is part of the priestly garment in the Old Testament, a symbol of prophethood, holiness, and also a symbol of being accepted by the Lord. And this is the desire of God for the church, to be clothed and to be renewed with pure vestments and to be found acceptable when He returns. And we will see, my dear friends, a considerable, voluminous renewal in our time. The Lord elaborated in Zechariah chapter 8, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And they shall be my people and I will be their God in faithfulness and righteousness. Zechariah chapter 8, verses 7 to 8. And God is saying here that He will Himself seek out for His people and to bring them back to Jerusalem. So reading this, I just couldn't help but think of the people who have fallen away. Friends, loved ones, who have fallen away from the Lord. Prodigals, and the Lord will bring them home. Amen. And as the Lord calls us to this season of renewal, this call is essentially a call for us to return to the place of our first love. And I'll share more on returning to our first love in my sermon this weekend. But now, we need to ask, how will we respond to God's call to revival and renewal in this season? I'm sure, like Joshua the high priest, two questions are lingering in our minds. Will this revival and renewal really take place? And what will the Lord require of us? The answer is, yes, it has taken place in the case of the Israelites. And yes, it can and it will take place once again in our time, in our church. But the Lord demands wholehearted commitment from the church. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 6 to 7, we read, and this is what the angel of the Lord solemnly assured Joshua. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge over my courts, and I will give you the right of access among those who are standing here. If you will walk in my ways and keep my church. The Lord is so clear, isn't it, my dear friends? What is needed, what is required of us, is our wholehearted commitment to follow Him and to be His disciple. If you walk in my ways and keep my church. We have a choice today to make, my friends. To be either a spectator of God's revival or to be part of God's plan for revival. Eventually, when King Cyrus issued the call for the people to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, the people responded with faith. In Ezra chapter 1, verse 5, we read, then rose up the heads of their father's house of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, and everyone whose spirit God had stirred to go to rebuild the house of the Lord that is in Jerusalem. will we respond in faith? And let me end with this. When Billy Graham rallied the church to pray for the nation, he said, "To get nations back on their feet, we must first get down on our knees." And I'd like to borrow Billy Graham's quote and apply it to us here today. To get Cathedral and our community back on her feet, we must first get down on our knees. Church, if we desire to see God's revival and renewal in our times, we need to go on our knees. I invite you to be in a posture of prayer. And now hear the word of God from 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." We come before you, Almighty God, humbly needing your grace, praying for the power of your Holy Spirit to fill us afresh. We ask for your forgiveness, for we have wandered away from you. And we thank you that you have so patiently waited for us to return to Jerusalem to worship you. We thank you for reminding us that you are always faithful and you are constantly at work in our lives and in our community. So help us, Lord, to stay close to you, and may our faith be anchored in your truth in this new year. And we pray that by your Spirit living and breathing through us, we will be your light to a world that is so desperately needing hope. Shine your light, Lord. Push back the darkness that surrounds us. By your great power, Lord, open the blind eyes and release those in prison. And we thank you, Lord, for calling us to this season of revival and renewal. Help us to be faithful to what you will be doing in our midst, and refresh us in the days ahead so that we will continue to be faithful. We believe and trust that you will do extraordinary miracles in the coming days, in our lives, in our church, in our families, in our land, and in our world. Lord, we need you more than ever before. And Lord, our times are in your hands. We pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.